Bob's World. Bob's World. Soccer. NFL. Bob's World.
Bob's World.
Bob's World.
Bob's World.
F1.
Golf.
Bob's World. Bob's World. Big green eggs. Flip flops.
Bob's World.
Hispanic girls.
Hispanic girls. Hispanic girls. Hispanic girls. Hispanic girls.
Hispanic girls.
Bob's World's brought to you by
Bob's World theme song.
Twin Peaks and American Leak Detection.
And now here's Bob.
All right, this might be your last Bob's World for a couple weeks because I won't be here next Tuesday.
What?
Next Tuesday and next Monday, I'll be taking days.
He hates the eclipse so much.
Well, it's... There'll be a lot of pagan rituals going on, and he just wants the distance from all of that.
Yes, I'm very scared of the sun. So I will be, ladies and gentlemen, I will be at the Masters 1 week from today, if everything goes according to plan. And so...
Wow, you get to call the April Fool's Open and then go to the Masters in one span of 1 week.
Will the experience of one make me better at the next?
Who can tell?
Who can say? Are you familiar with a publication known as Garden and Gun?
No.
Because I had never heard of it until today. But today I was sent a link, thanks to our friend Don Van Natta, about what?
Not that.
Was that necessary for
Bob? You got to see this.
You're gonna love it.
Our friend Don Van Natta.
It's like 10 Latinas.
By the way, Don Van Natta now writing like the tell-all Jerry Jones novel.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He sent me a link with Garden and Gun for a story that they are very proud of producing recently called Masters of the Green. The Black Caddies of Augusta National. Subheadline, for almost 50 years, they carried the bags of golf legends, but also masterminded victories from tees to the holes. Then, with one decision, their lives shifted, and the legacy of their glory days went unheralded. Finally, that's changing. So, I'm reading a lot of stuff about the Masters before I make my maiden voyage to Augusta, Georgia for the Tuesday practice round day. I'm very excited. Cowboy Tom is making this all possible, and we're taking the trip and going to see the hallowed fairways of Augusta National. And so I'll be honest with you, and Corby will attest to this. I am a Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was my portal of entry for golf in terms of I was one of millions and millions of Americans that knew the sport existed, didn't care that much. It wasn't really for me, but here is this guy who is like upsetting the golf world, at least according to us, because he was not one of them and he was winning everything. And that juxtaposition just was extremely interesting to a sports casual or a, I guess, sports enthusiast who's a golf casual. And through his career, I grew to love the game. And frankly, have an unhealthy relationship with the game now to where it's on my mind way too often. Just ask Kat. And I don't know its history very well. And so what I'm enjoying over these last several years is sort of diving into the history. Well, as you might expect, a lot of it is in the Old South, and a lot of the Old South had some, shall we say, racial complications along the way that intersected very intimately with the game of golf.
No, no way.
Yes, it's actually true. So I'm reading a book that your closer friend, but our mutual friend, Pat, recommended that I read before I go to the Masters, and it referenced a lot of these things, but if it's more in there more comprehensively, I haven't got to that chapter yet, evidently. But in this story from Garden and Gun magazine, I'll read you a paragraph or two here. Augusta National first put on what would be called the Masters Tournament in 1934. With its rule in place, attributed to its creator, Clifford Roberts, that golfers would always be white and the caddies would always be black.
Ugh.
the segregated
That's
course.
That's in the bylaws.
Yeah, I think unofficially.
Jeez.
The segregated course had support from the top. From that same year until 1961, the Professional Golfers Association of America, the PGA, had a Caucasian only clause in its bylaws, preventing non-whites from membership and thus from competing on the PGA Tour, all the way till 1961.
Yeah.
So,
not good.
Against this backdrop, we should also tell you that caddies back in the day, to the best of my knowledge, and please correct me, Corby, or as some might say, country club Corby.
Go on.
That in many cases, caddies were not de facto experts on, and that you hired and they would get a percentage of your income. They were sort of the help at these clubs.
Yes.
And in
100%.
Most cases, they would happen to be black. Or maybe not happen at all. Maybe they would be black by design. And so here's where it got weird for me, because I remember these Sports Illustrated covers were like Jack Nicklaus is winning the 1972 Masters, and the cover of Sports Illustrated is Jack and his black caddy are the only two on the picture. And now why is that weird? Well, the caddy was not his caddy. The caddy was his Augusta National caddy.
Right. There was a huge difference.
So the whole idea of these professional golfers having caddies that travel with them and get a percentage of their income, to the best of my knowledge, Corby, that's happened in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, Jack or Arnie or Ben Hogan or Byron Nelson or any of these guys would not have a caddy with him everywhere. They would grab somebody from that club. Now, it might be the same guy every time.
Yeah, surely they develop relationships, yes, and have their favorite guy at each course.
100%. But they would not travel, and so you would give them probably a nice tip, and then you would be on your way, and I'll see you next year when we come back to your town where you were.
Yes.
And so this all changed, by the way, as golf modernized and television networks broadcast more tournaments. I'll read from the story here. The prize purse swelled, and players began to build personal teams. They would have nutritionists and chefs, psychologists, swing coaches, and, yes, caddies who followed them everywhere. Many began to feel that using a local caddy at the Masters instead of someone they collaborated with year-round was a detriment. Those complaints came to a head in 1982. So until 1982, if you had a caddy, he can't come to the Masters with you. You have to use one of the Augusta National caddies, who I believe every one of them happened to be black.
Everyone.
Okay. So those complaints came to a head in 1982 after a heavy spring rain caused a delay until Sunday morning for the third round. Confusion about the start time left some players without their assigned caddy. One golfer even sent his wife out to shag balls for him, which I guess was a thing on the driving range before they had pickers. Is somebody would have to go out there and
Careful, guys, don't hit my wife.
Yes, my wife is out there picking up balls. This is all weird to me. The PGA players asked Augusta National chairman at the time, Hord Hardin, to lift the ban on outside caddies.
Hord Hardin.
And finally, Hardin complied. The next year, only 18 of the tournament's 82 players used Augusta National's black caddies. Not only that, but white caddies, now eager and able to work at the country's most prestigious course, began to take the spots in the course's corps. They started taking all those jobs. And money changed the world, as the story says. So I start reading the story, and before long, they introduced me to a man named Carl Jackson.
That's Crenshaw's caddy.
Thank you. Carl Jackson is Crenshaw's caddy. And even crazier, this story pulled from a 2021 news story on WFAA in Dallas. as Arnold Payne, our friend AP, won Emmys for doing a 8-minute story that you can see on YouTube called The Vanishing of the Black Caddy. And he tells the story of Carl Jackson. And if you don't mind, I would like to play you a little bit of Channel 8 story from 3 years ago wow. that our friend did and won Emmys, and I just found out about it this morning.
Masters is on the line at Augusta, Georgia.
Jackson would caddy at his first Masters tournament in 1961 at age 14.
Well, older guys at the time called me a little bull. That little bull can caddy.
But there was no way that an 11-year-old kid could have ever imagined that he himself would caddy at a record 54 Masters. Starting in 1961, he only missed one prior to his retirement 6 years ago.
It was not smooth sailing. You're being out on the tour, it's glamorous and all that, you know, but it's hard work.
Crenshaw has this eagle attempt from about 20 feet here at 13.
But it was not until Jackson was paired with Ben Crenshaw at the 1976 Masters Tournament that he found his rightful place of longevity and prosperity.
And when I met Carl Jackson, I said, God, this is what a gift. What a gift this is. I can't tell you how many times he helped me in so many instances, but it was pretty simple for me. I had the best, and I never saw any reason to change whatsoever.
Carl Jackson, his caddy, said it went off like a bullet.
Jackson quickly became a trusted companion. Talent recognizing talent, meticulously elevating Crenshaw's game to two Masters championships in both 1984 and 95.
Ben Crenshaw has won the Masters for a second time.
When I won in 1995, that picture on the last green, you know, I collapsed.
He's down there all hunched over.
He's been holding back the emotion, keeping them in check all week.
What's wrong with him?
Carl came over and put his arms around me, and I'll never forget it. He said,
"Hey, buddy, are you all right?"
And I said, "No, I'm not."
I'm tearing up now, you know. I said, "No, Carl Jackson, you're not gonna cry on this camera."
Next to tee from Eagle, Idaho.
So,
and that was in '95 when Crenshaw was washed. Essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, his odds were about as low as you could get to win that tournament. And that hug at the end of it, and this is 2 years before Tiger won his first Masters.
That's right.
So that hug is one of the most iconic memories for me at that tournament because it seemed like it lasted forever. And those Carl Jackson and Crenshaw, I mean, he's bawling in Carl Jackson's arms.
So Carl Jackson started caddying when he was 8, and he lives in a neighborhood in Augusta called Sand Hill. And Sand Hill has a path through the forest where you pop out on the 11th green or the 13th tee at Augusta National. And he was one of the poor black kids in that neighborhood that decided, I don't want to do manual labor. Maybe I'll go caddy.
You
to
just
try to
show
make a,
up.
To try to make a couple
try and
bucks.
Try glom on somehow.
And he started when he was 8 and he retired, you know, after, what'd they say, 54
Dude.
Masters in a row?
Yeah. He just retired 6 years ago. Or
yeah,
8 years ago.
Yes. And so somehow this had a Dallas tie as Channel 8 told his story a couple years ago. And I found out about it this morning. And it's a great Carl Jackson and the story of, I guess now they're obviously trying to grow the game more and more in minority communities and trying to make it more of a sport where you can play. And of course there are a number of players on the tour who started as caddies, as young black boys who grew up to be, you know, professional players. I believe that's Charlie Elder's story or
Lee Elder.
I'm yeah. sorry.
Mm-hmm. Charlie Sifford.
Yeah. Okay. But Lee Elder, and there's another one, that was also a caddy as a boy at Augusta who turned into a professional player because they were around the game their whole life. And lo and behold, if you're exposed to the game, then
Trevino's story.
Yes.
Same thing.
So, anyway, it's a little story.
He's
I wanted.
He's not black, though.
He is not.
But that's a story I wanted to tell you today as I
awesome.
Learned about the Channel 8 story of the vanishing of the black caddy.
I think Augusta National needs to be canceled.
I think they've tried many,
many
times.
They've kind of survived a lot, Dave.